I'm just a game.
You're binary.
I'm a question.
You're a question mark, yes. Blew up. Wow, this has been a good episode, hasn't it?
It has.
I've learned a lot of things. Yeah. So they're making robots to do my exercise for me. I can hardly
No,
wait.
I don't think that's what he said.
Yeah, I heard it.
John. Yeah,
that's what I got out of Science Live. What about you? Yeah. So, update on the upcoming solar eclipse, April 8th. Mm-hmm. We now have at the eclipse party, the Celis Academy party in Arkansas, we now have over 80 people coming.
Wow.
Not counting whoever comes from Missouri here.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a bunch that are going from here.
Sure
so it's going to be quite a deal. And we have created a special solar eclipse t-shirt, which, you know, Tina, has that been put in the store so people can see those? Yeah, well, we should do that. It's coming, April 8th. So it's all exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Coming fast. Isn't it amazing that we know exactly when it's going to happen, the day, the time of day, and exactly where you got to go to see it?
It's amazing.
That's science.
You know what else I think amazing is?
Who?
Well, actually, it fits into what I think is amazing.
Oh, okay.
But the robots are... The body is amazing. I was thinking they try to mimic what we can do so well.
Well, and Dr. John did a good job selling the body.
He did. But the body is amazing.
The human body is incredibly amazing.
It is.
You know, someone talked about all the Legos falling out and being the Eiffel Tower. When that happens, that's really nothing compared to them all falling out and being a perfect human body.
Yeah. I know, right?
I mean, that's boggling, beyond boggling.
It is.
Okay, well, so what are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know. You never tell me.
It was your turn to decide.
It was my turn. Now I get to know that.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a little run-up intro, okay?
Okay.
Tonight, we have a very exciting thing to talk about, and to tell you what it is, here is Dr. Paige Monet.
Help!
Help!
I see a Learjet, I see cards I haven't seen before, mm-hmm. I see... Tell us.
It's very good. Well, actually... some of the students have been writing to me and they said, you know, we like it when you tell us real stories.
They love it.
And I think, you know what, I've only been around for about 3,800 years.
Really?
And so how do you have enough stories for every week? You know, something new and fresh.
So do you have one?
I must have a real imagination or I've been here long
time.
You've done
a lot of
living. Turns out that I have a chapter that I haven't shared yet. And I think it'd be kind of fun to get into it tonight. Some of you know little teeny pieces about this, but I don't think anybody has heard part of what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay? So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So here we go. Okay. Clear back in the 1970s, that was hundreds and hundreds of
sounds so
50
long
years
ago. 1970s?
Yeah. Way back then. After the science fair, after college, after thinking that it's time for the world to convert to hydrogen energy, I'm sitting there in my little company. There was me and there were three employees, and that was the Billings Energy Little Corporation. And we had these great ideas and these technologies we're developing. We can run not only cars, we can run everything on hydrogen. You could power a stove, you could power a generator, you power everything with hydrogen. And so one day we had a staff meeting around a small table, and I challenged the team. I said, how are we going to get people to understand the amazing potential of hydrogen? It's the universal energy, because you can make hydrogen from water plus any source of energy, solar, wind, geothermal, hydroelectric, everything. And then when you burn the hydrogen, you get all the water back. It can be recycled over and over again. How can we get the message out to the world that that can be done? We've done cars, we've done some buses, we've done quite a few demonstrations, and there was a little bit of interest. But one of our brainstormers came up with the idea of, what if we converted a motorhome to run on hydrogen? And for those of you that aren't familiar with motorhomes, they're like a camping trailer, except they have the motor in them. So it's a little home on wheels. Mm-hmm. It's got an engine, you sit and drive it, and around goes your bed and your fridge and your stove and in your bathroom, and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we got this idea, we will convert a motorhome to run on hydrogen. And we're getting all excited about it. I said, wait a minute, motorhomes are really expensive. And we had everything except a lot of money. And so I decided to write a proposal. And the proposal was that we would convert a motorhome to run on hydrogen to be displayed at the World's Fair in 1974, Expo 74, which that year was in Spokane, Washington. The biggest motorhome company in the world was a company in Forest City, Iowa called Winnebago. So who do we send it to? Do we send it to the president, the chairman? And I thought, you know, if they do this at the World's Fair, they're gonna get a lot of publicity. So let's send it to their publicity guy, their head of public relations and advertising, guy named Larry Krell. How come I remember that? I don't know. Larry Krell. So I sent him the proposal, and he contacted me by phone, and then he flew out to our little laboratory because he wanted to see what we were really doing, and we showed him all around. And he says, wow, this is kind of interesting. Then he went back, and he talked to the chairman of Winnebago, the president, a guy named John Hansen. And his son was named John Hansen, so dad was called John K. Hansen, son was called John V. Hansen. Okay, so John K. Hansen heard about it, and he thought, that sounds pretty neat. So he said he would loan us a motorhome to convert to hydrogen, and we were so excited. So guess who went out to get it?
Who? You?
Me. Yeah, I went out to get it. And I thought, this is going to be really fun. I could bring that home, and it would be like a camping trip in a luxury motorhome all the way home. Mm-hmm. So I flew out there, and then I arranged for my lovely lady to fly out halfway and meet me so I could drive and pick her up at the airport, and we would have a camp out going home. And motorhomes are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do amazing things. Like, you know, you can go to the drive-in movie. You can make your own popcorn. You can even, during intermission, take a shower.
Did you try all that? Sorry.
That's private. But anyway, so I went there. I met them. They spent all this time telling me about it, asking me about hydrogen. And I was looking at my watch. Uh-oh. Her plane just landed. And she had a little one. And finally, like 4.5 hours later, they said, okay, here's the keys. You're on your way. And so I was on my way. Mm-hmm. Well, no cell phones. Yeah, they were all down that day.
No internet.
And so I just thought, I hope she sticks around. And like, I think almost 8 hours late, I got to the airport, but she was still there, picked her up, and we did our little trip home, and started the work of converting this whole motorhome to run on hydrogen. Now, motorhomes are just really interesting. We had to convert the engine. We had to convert the stove, the refrigerator, all these different pieces. And all of those took research and development, but we thought it would show how this can become a universal fuel. And I have had that dream since the ninth grade that it would become the universal clean fuel. And finally, in the 2020s, that dream is starting to be realized. Automakers all over the world are starting to manufacture hydrogen cars in quantities. That's a thrill, but this is way back when it was hard to get people interested. So I've got a little clip that I want to show you of this hydrogen Winnebago, because we did get it converted, and the conversion went quite well. And so then I called Winnebago and said, we've got it converted. And Larry Krell came back out to see it, to see if they actually wanted to take it to the World's Fair. And he said, well, I'll go back and report. And then the next news I got is John K. Hansen himself is flying into your little local airport in his Learjet. And of course, I had by this time mentored under Bill Lear, so if he's coming to Learjet, he's got to be,
it's gotta be, okay.
Be a neat guy. And I didn't know what he was going to do, but I was hoping he was going to approve taking this motorhome to the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. Well, they made a little movie about hydrogen about that time, and in it we have footage of John K. Hansen. I want to kind of show you a picture of what Mr. Hansen looks like. He's that handsome guy in the middle.
Isn't right there in the middle with the tie on?
Actually, John K. Hansen is the guy in the white shirt standing next to me in front of our little building at Billings Corporation. And this is really an amazing, amazing guy. And about the time that I met him, something really bad was happening to Winnebago. It was the oil embargo. The oil-producing countries decided that they were going to get together and regulate oil prices. So they cut their production way back, and oil prices went up real high.
What do you mean by regulate?
They decided that they were going to only sell enough to make people suffer and pay too much for it. Americans were given the privilege of buying gas only on every other day. You were in either an even day or an odd day. And there were big lines at the gas stations, and gas just exploded. I was used to buying gas at 10 cents a gallon, and it just exploded overnight. Motorhomes, the fun, wonderful vehicles they are, consume a lot of gas. And it was never a problem because it was so cheap. All of a sudden, gas was so expensive that motorhome sales just almost stopped overnight. And that was right when we built our motorhome. Mm. And so Mr. Hansen came to see us, and he was a little discouraged because they were building all these motorhomes and no one was buying them. So they were filling all the farms around Winnebago with brand new motorhomes that they didn't have a place to sell, wow, hoping the market would get better. But at any rate, the story gets kind of fun because John Hansen came in, he met me, he saw what we were doing, he got pretty excited about it. He says, this is going to solve so many problems in this world.
Wow.
And then he said, I want to invest in your company. Now, it was during the week, and we had a payday coming up on Friday. I hated payday. Because I had to pay these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You think they would be devoted enough to just show up. But no, they felt like they
families
had to be paid.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to get enough money for each payday was really tough.
Yeah.
And that's true of a lot of little businesses just starting out. And so Mr. Han said he wanted to be, oh, thank you. How about enough for payroll? And I said, okay. And he says, I'm thinking about $1 million. Now, $1 million back then, to me, like $10 million today.
Did you keep your cool?
$1 million. Yeah, I was Maybe, you know. But $1 million, okay. And I thought, oh. And then he said, how about 20% of the company for $1 million? It's working.
It's working.
Yeah, that's working. You got to understand, I was out of school. Mm-hmm. I was broke. I was excited. I knew that I had a tiger by the tail, but I didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. And I was squeaking by day, trying to get the world to wake up to hydrogen energy. And here's this guy's $1 million. Now, I had a car, and it was old. I didn't buy it new. I bought it wore out, mm-hmm. and then made it worse. And it was a Ford Falcon, a blue Ford Falcon, and it wasn't a very nice car, but I was grateful to have it. It beat my bicycle in the rain, at least. So anyway, here's John Hansen saying, how about $1 million for 20%? It's good. It's just fine. He reached into his coat pocket on the side, and he pulled out a checkbook, and I probably had a bigger smile than I want to admit. But, you know, he didn't have one of the real checkbooks like I have. Mine has a plastic cover. And his was just the checks that go in the plastic cover. He had a bullet, pulled it out, and he pulled out a felt tip pen, you know, magic marker, and he started writing out a check. Hand it to me. Let's go to lunch. Now, some of you are saying, I'll bet he's making this up. Well, for you doubters, I just happened to bring the check to show you. There it is. Billings Energy Research, John Kay and Louise Hansen. John Kay Hansen. And you see it's from Manufacturers Bank and Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Whew. Let's go to lunch. So I took him out. He flew in a Learjet. Uh-huh. He wrote out $1 million check. And then we got in my car. And he wasn't too impressed. And I thought, you know, if a guy comes in and gives you $1 million, I'm pretty sure protocol says I'm supposed to buy lunch. I didn't know if the restaurant would cash a check. And I was thinking how much money I was carrying around. And I didn't have enough. So, with all of the confidence in the world, I drove right into McDonald's. And I says, come on in. And we got Big Macs. And for the rest of my life, knowing Mr. Hansen, he reminded me of that often.
I bet he did.
Yeah, $1 million and you took me to McDonald's. But anyway, then I took him out the airport. He got in his Learjet and I saw him shoot off into the sky. And I realized, nothing in my life will ever be the same again. Everything's changed. Now we can really do the project. So I took that check straight down to my bank, and I went up the counter. I didn't have a deposit slip. So I said, can you make me one of those deposit slips? I need to make a deposit. Oh, sure. She printed out a check, and I filled it out and handed it to her, and she looked at it, and she just went white.
She hadn't seen that before, huh?
I said, just a minute. And she disappeared. And pretty soon, I had the privilege of meeting the president of the bank. And he came out here, hello, Mr. Billings. Would you please step in my office? Oh, sure. So we went in and sat down in his office. This is a rather large amount. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, we have to check things like this out. Oh, yeah. And so he says, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a phone call. So he called, right on the check, Manufacturers Bank. Put the check back up. There it is. There it is. See down there, Manufacturers Bank and Trust, Forest City, Iowa. So he called the president of Manufacturers Bank. And he said, yes, my name is Angus Bellaston. I'm the president of the bank. And we've got someone here. Depositing a check that's drawn on the account of John and Louise Hansen for $1 million. And we just want to make sure the check was good. And the president kind of laughed. Okay, well, thank you, and hung up. I didn't know what that meant. And then he said, the president of Manufacturers Bank says that he hopes the check's good because Mr. Hansen owns the bank. And he cashed it. We actually didn't give him cash, but we deposited the check. And my life was forever going to change. Well, we went back and we started doing hydrogen energy research in a really serious way. There were so many technical problems that had to be solved before it could happen. And we started clicking through them one at a time. And we had some money to be able to do it, for which I'm so grateful. Mr. Hansen is really an amazing, amazing, amazing person. And you're going to know that a little bit more in a few minutes. But I want to show you a little clip that they filmed of Mr. Hansen, and I think I may be in this clip, showing the motorhome. Let's let it take a look at it.
To demonstrate hydrogen's capability, I wrote to Winnebago Industries requesting a motorhome. Usually the first time we contact people, they're quite skeptical about hydrogen.
It sounded really a little far out. He was able to, telling us he was able to change a unit over totally to hydrogen.
Not only could we convert the engine to run on hydrogen, but also the appliances.
It sounded rather ridiculous, but we did allocate it, and the inquiry came from this little, small firm. I believe it was just practically a one-man show.
We were delighted with Mr. Hansen's response. We knew we could make the vehicle run now that we had a chance. Over the last 9 years, we had been converting automobiles to run on hydrogen. Now the challenge was to convert a motorhome. We knew we were involved in developing new technology, which made our work very exciting.
To my surprise, actually, the motorhomes and all its appliances worked to perfection. We converted the engine, the regular power unit, and the auxiliary power unit. Then the units run off the propane, the range, the water heater, the regular heater, as well as the fridge. Completely over to hydrogen, with the power unit then running the TV, radio, whatever else you have on electrical. So the little home on wheels is completely transferred over to hydrogen. I became, I believe the best word is, overwhelmed by the success of the research.
So there's Mr. Hansen. I'm glad you all got to see him. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a couple very interesting stories I need to tell you about this dear friend of mine. And Mr. Hansen and I became very, very close. In fact, after he became an investor in my company, every day but Sunday, he would call me at 6 a.m. sharp. He says, it's your wake-up call. And then we would discuss everything that happened the day before. And he was like a wonderful friend and mentor. But one of the things that happened that I thought was kind of interesting is they were one of the first vehicles to install a cruise control. So you're going down the road, you could set the cruise control and it'd keep the speed for you. And he said that it was new and it took a little bit for people to kind of get used to what it was. And then they got sued by a guy. And what happened, he got up in court and explained that he was driving his motorhome and he needed to go to the restroom. So he said he turned on the autopilot and went back to the restroom.
The autopilot.
And it crashed.
They had GPS and everything.
Yeah. In other words, it wasn't an autopilot, it was a speed control. And that's kind of funny. But something more serious. I talked about the oil embargo. And when all of a sudden we couldn't get all the oil we needed and the price went sky high, the motorhome industry and many other things just collapsed. And literally thousands of Winnebagos, brand new, were out in fields, which should have been corn, all around the Winnebago factory. When we got the motorhome converted to hydrogen, we took it to Spokane, Washington, to be in an exhibit at the World's Fair. And it was a really interesting exhibit because for the first time, it really got exposure and people started to realize this hydrogen sounds like it could really make a difference. So for us, it was a really big deal. And Mr. Hansen flew his Learjet out to the fair and came and spent a few days with us. But something really interesting happened. When you're manufacturing motorhomes, because you don't want to lay off your people and you can't sell them, your cash starts to run out. You're going out to pay the salaries and to buy the parts and none coming in. And so Winnebago was starting to be criticized in the business journals as going broke. They were afraid it was going to go bankrupt and clear out of business. And Mr. Hansen was in a very, very difficult financial situation. But he came to World's Fair anyway, and I was grateful he did, a dear friend. And he felt that hydrogen energy was a bright light, and maybe it would put things like our motorhome industry back on its feet. When he got there, he couldn't find a hotel room. There were so many people that had come to the World's Fair in Spokane, the hotels for miles and miles and miles were booked. And then he looked at that and he went, click. He says, I got it. And this whole discussion today is worth telling you about because of that one moment. I got it. He saw that they had a desperate need for hotels. He made a few phone calls that night, and a caravan of 1,000 motorhomes left Forest City like a giant train, driving down the highways to Spokane. And he rented a great big farm from a guy right by the fair, and he parked the motorhomes, one after another, after another, after another, and he rented them out like hotel rooms.
Smart.
So he could get cash flow to keep paying his people and keep the factory running. People liked the motorhomes so much that they wanted to buy them. So, yeah, you can't have it till the end of the fair, but then you can have it at this really special price. He sold every one of them.
Oh, my.
And saved his company.
Wow.
Now, wait a minute. This is a guy that got up and went to support hydrogen and me and so forth when he probably should have just been sitting home in the blues.
Yeah.
And his world was over. He had built up this wonderful company, but now everything was about to collapse. And he saw a window of opportunity, and he jumped on it. I didn't bring it tonight. I'll have to show you some other time, but I have an aerial photo of what they called Winnebago Village. And when they rented all 1,000 motorhomes, they brought a whole other load of them. It became this large community of motorhomes there in Spokane. And you know, that's what entrepreneurs do. That's what inventioneers do. We are trained to solve problems. When people see a problem, we see an opportunity. And a lot of it's about attitude. Some students have been writing me lately, and I really enjoy reading those, by the way. You don't quite understand maybe what's going on inside my soul, but I have devoted my life to making sure that you can get a good education. I really have. And when I get those messages and you tell me how you're doing and you tell me where you're struggling, and it means the world to me. I just love hearing from you. But I quite often get the same question, and it goes like this. So how come you never get discouraged and give up when you run into problems and difficult times? And I haven't really taken that question on, even though I just keep getting it, and I'll tell you why I haven't taken it on. Because I do get discouraged, and I do give up all the time. I've probably given up more time than anybody else alive. I work hard, I got an idea, this is gonna work, I mean, try it, didn't work. I quit. I go home and I go to bed. Give up. I'm never going to do it again. Okay. I banged the table. I won't now that I'm sociable, though. Okay? But the next morning, I'm ready to try something else.
Yes.
So it's okay to give up as long as you just do it for a few hours at a time. And I'll tell you what, John K. Hansen really changed my life when I saw how he turned that situation around. And he kept his company going. And eventually, we got more gas. Prices normalized. Yeah. The factory kept going. He never shut it down. He was able to keep his employees in jobs. Now, in Forest City, Iowa, they're wonderful farms, but the only real jobs for this massive group of people that had gathered there was working for Winnebago. If he hadn't been able to keep them going, they'd had to leave to find jobs. He took care of them, and I really respect him for that.
Yeah.
When John Hansen and I got to know each other really well, and is just such a dear friend. I remember one day on the telephone time, okay, I've got to take a trip down to Wichita and then down to Texas, so I'll be gone for a couple of days. And he said, well, how are you getting there? And he said, well, you can take an airline. He said, no, you're not. I'll send the jet.
Well, if you insist.
But he did that several times, bless his heart. And they're a lot of fun. So I've flown on the Learjet of Bill Lear many, many times when he was mentoring me. And I've flown on the Winnebago Learjet more times than Bill Lear. And then I flew on the the Learjet of a little company that makes camping equipment, Coleman. Have you ever heard of Coleman?
Yeah.
I went to see them and showed them why they should convert all their tent heaters and things to hydrogen. And they sent me to my next city on their Learjet. I love jets. They're a lot of fun. But one of the things that John Hansen told me that you ought to just put in the back of your minds, because someday it could be important. He says, when I came into your little operation, I kind of had in the back of my head, if I'm impressed, maybe I will invest. Oh, I'm glad he did. Maybe I will invest. And he says, I went to the men's room. And when I saw that it was spotless clean, I thought, okay, this is a good company. If they keep their men's room clean. So you custodians, God bless you. Thank you. Keep it up. But you know, that is
makes
important when you're running your business. And I learned a lot of other things of wisdom. Like on one of our trips, we flew into Chicago. We landed right there at the downtown private airport. We got out. We went in a limo to this really fancy restaurant. And whoa. You can judge how fancy a restaurant is by how many forks they give you. This was a 3-fork restaurant. And I'm sitting there, and they brought a salad, and I didn't know which fork you're supposed to use first. I know you're supposed to use the right one. And we never use 3 forks in my house. And so I finally says, Mr. Hansen, I don't know which fork to use first. And he said something to me that was really interesting. He said, listen, Roger, when you pay this much for food, you can use any fork you want. So I did. And ever since, you know, I've been very comfortable in any restaurant. You know? So you cannot imagine the opportunities and experiences that await you if you're willing to believe in yourself, if you're willing to put forth some effort and develop your mental abilities. Learning is the currency that we use to purchase most of the big opportunities in life. And the wonderful team at Vaselis is working so hard for you to have absolutely the best chance to get an education. We bring the best teachers from far away to teach you courses. We really do. We look all over the nation and bring in absolutely the best teachers. And they painstakingly, with great care, create these lessons, and they're edited and they're refined so that you can acquire the knowledge and the lessons you need to be successful. Someday you're going to look back and say, you know, I'm really grateful that I was able to get this foundation. And when you're mentoring your team, your kids, you just look back and say, you know what? I've got some stories to tell, some great stories. Because I believed in myself, I only got discouraged for one night at a time. And I always got up the next morning ready to try something new. Study like your life depends on it, because it does. See you next time.